Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ringside Rap, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. This is where Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi bring you the latest news and information on pro wrestling and MMA, as well as interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Rap with your hosts, Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi.
All right, welcome to Ringside Rap. It is June 29th. Let's see, tonight so far it is myself, Rich Tate, and Mike Sempervivi. Les Thatcher may be on with us tonight. He wasn't real sure a couple hours ago. A little work schedule snafu got him has got him on the run. Gonna have if I don't know if you caught it on the website earlier or out on Twitter, but we have had to postpone with Jake Roberts. He was planning on being here. He had to let me know this afternoon. He's had to postpone due to some family stuff, and he will get back to us hopefully here within the next couple of weeks or so with a rescheduled date. However, tonight we will have Jimmy Rave join us briefly to catch us up on what he's been doing, and also we want to get his thoughts on some things going on in the wrestling world that he's some guys he's really close to in the business, such as, say, Davey Richards, and, of course, CM Punk. Mike, the big story this week, obviously, seems to be CM Punk.
I heard he got a promo on Monday night.
I heard that, too. That was awesome stuff.
It was, yeah, absolutely. It was, you know, it's what kind of what we've been railing against on this show, and most people have, you know, it's, I mean, you look at WWE, you look at the money, you look at the resources, you look at the, you know, from what everybody said about Triple H, you know, and knows history about being a student of the game and being very interested in watching things. He's no dummy. And it's like we've been complaining about announcers fusing with each other. Well, this Monday night, they were, it's like you flipped the switch, but it was like they were back to being normal announcers again, you know, for the most part. We've been, you know, we talk about the UFC and MMA and the fact that anything can happen, you know, Congo Berry style and chokeouts and things like that, and they started to do that. You know, there's lots of other things that they could be doing, but it's like that stuff stood out to me. Jerry Lawler going in to interview Ezekiel Jackson, and then Kelly the night after when they won titles, you know, Joe Rogan style or Larry Merchant style. I mean, it's that type of stuff actually perked up, stood out to me. And then Punk's promo came. And Monday night was not a great show. I mean, for the most part, I don't think anybody will ever remember that it was Raw Roulette. It was in Las Vegas. Even that Shawn Michaels was on the show. But what they're going to remember is that CM Punk promo that was absolutely awesome and touched on a lot of the things that, you know, they talk about internet fans, but it's not really just internet fans, too. It's longtime, just pure wrestling fans that are cranky and annoyed and, you know, not happy with a lot of what they've been seeing on WWE. And this was a great shock to the system to all groups. It played into the John Cena storyline. It played into CM Punk being, you know, on his own and that type of guy. It played into the internet crowd that knows who, you know, Colt Cabana is, know what the situation has always been with him and CM Punk throughout their lives, and know the bum deal that the Scotty Goldman character got, and when he was unceremoniously booted out. New Japan, Ring of Honor, which got another mention. I mean, it's just, it was, to me, perfect all the way across the board, and obviously everybody knows this, everybody's heard it, and there's some people, obviously, that are critical of or want to really beat on it and poke holes in it, but it's one of those things where I'm not going to get too cynical over what WWE could do wrong, and they had the taping right after the show for the next week where, you know, it's, now we've got Vince McMahon involved in it, and it's Punk, you know, and again, I guess I won't spoil anything for anybody, so I won't go into all of it. But, you know, you got Vince McMahon coming back to now have a hand in it. And it's just, I just want to look at it as a fan for right now. I mean, because you can be critical of it, and there's lots of things to look at or to be too excited about and things like that. But just as a fan again, it was a good re-energizing moment. And it was good stuff. And, yes, it could turn out to be what happened to Nexus. But at least for the one night, they even though the show wasn't that fantastic, it ended with what they're best at, and they did a great job with it. And CM Punk, who, again, I've been bitching about it week after week on this show, on most shows, he's the most underutilized guy in the company as far as if he's a prick or not, it doesn't matter. He can go out and do interviews and do news shows. He's a well-spoken guy, and he might be a prick. But, you know, it came up, and there was truth to what he said on the show about the whole thing about having magazines and merchandise shipped in the States at 5 o'clock in the morning and seeing guys at multiple airports, you know, who have, you know, their kid there, and they're using them as a conduit to try to get him to sign stuff or sticking stuff in his face. I mean, that's all based in truth, too. And that was the other great thing about the promo is, I mean, that's the whole thing was a lot of it was based in truth. They're playing off of that. Is CM Punk going to actually go or not? I would tend to say no. But it's just, it's created a lot of great intrigue. The only problem is, if you want an obvious drawback to it as far as being a wrestling fan looking at it, it's, you know, now that WWE title, even though it's in play and it matters, is just kind of been forgotten about here again as far as just being the prop to get to the means. But even with that said, it's just way too early. And I think as wrestling fans, we should probably bask in this because there's enough people that are in wrestling that are basking in it. So you know what? That's a good thing.
I think what's great is I think at least everybody's blood flowing again. You know, you kind of watched since such a great build up to WrestleMania, different things they were doing there that were kind of cool and unique, and then you come out of that and there's a little bit of a hangover and nothing really exciting going on the last couple of months, and then all of a sudden you got this going on, and to me, I think we're seeing the beauty of what the internet does in terms of the social media and Twitter. I mean, Twitter was blowing up Monday night, Tuesday, and that's exactly the kind of thing WWE wants. You know, they can sit there and piss on the internet fans, but you know, let's face it, if you've got people talking about you, it doesn't matter where they're coming from.
Oh yeah, the TSN show that airs on Hardcore Sports Radio on Sirius right after wrestling with Art O'Call and Jimmy Corderas. You know, they're talking about it in, you know, news form because they're live after the show of just, you know, they've announced he's suspended. And people, and the thing was on Twitter, too. And, you know, it's when you're on there for that long and you're working it, you know it's a good night. But it's the fact that people had no clue. People had no clue that, you know, lots of people had no clue of whether it was real or not or any of that stuff. And, you know, the cynical eye looks at it and goes, well, you know, he looked over at the camera twice, you know, and obviously they knew when to cut with that. And he, remember the whole thing with the microphone the week before where they cut the mic on him? And it was just like,
yeah.
I thought that was a little underrated piece of acting. And it was just like, okay, when it popped up again and there were people losing their minds for it because they got so wrapped up in it. They really got wrapped up in it. Smart people got wrapped up in it, and that's great. And that's, you know, and there's a malaise with wrestling fans, too. It's part of the culture now and things wanting things fast and things like that where there's a lot of times where and the fans are at fault for some things, about getting excited about, you know, some things sometimes and being way too apathetic towards other things. And obviously the promotion, plays a lot into that. But as fans, you know, too, we are cynical in this era, and we have short attention spans and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it just this was great to just, you know, send the shockwave through and you know, pull everybody in. And it was pretty amazing. It was absolutely amazing. You have Shawn Michaels on the show. No one's ever going to remember the fact that Shawn Michaels was on this show. Nobody will ever remember, you know, except for maybe the part where Punk called him out. You know, nobody's going to remember that. They'll remember Punk, and I thought that was awesome.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you only saw him in the opening segment, and then he shows up there again at the end of the segment where they had DDP on. I was really expecting to see a hell of a lot more of HBK while he had him, but, you know, not surprised. You know, he came on, he plugged his show. I didn't see his show, so I can't say anything about it. But, hey, good luck to you, Sean. Let's move on to something else. We'll talk a little more Punk when we get Jimmy on. Obviously, things may not be going well in your life when you're the headliner of a major event and what, just the night before, you're not only taken off the card, you're out of the company.
I don't exactly know what Nate Marquardt was thinking, you know, after hearing his side of the story about why he was not on the UFC versus Four show, which they spent a lot of promotion behind him as far as Spike airing a all Marquardt all the time festival for a guy who, I swear to God, every time I hear Nate Marquardt fighting, I just assume it's against Yushin Okami. I just, for some reason, I hear his name, I just automatically, he's fighting Yushin Okami. You know, in my mind, they fought 95 times, but I mean, he's not exactly, you know, he's not John Jones, he's not Rampage, he's not a lot of their colorful personalities, but they spent the time to invest in that so they would get a good audience on Versus, and what ends up happening is he tests, okay, to try to explain this to people, he was getting testosterone injections, and the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission knew about this weeks ago, that he was going to get a testosterone shot, which rocketed his testosterone up, but they were monitoring it as far as Marquardt was going to tell them how things were going and he should be ready in time for the fight. And it's like, you know, when you heard that, it's like, well, why would they have let him train anyway with the testosterone replacement? And the other thing is there's been issues with seeing the endocrinologist and getting the proper reports that he needed in New Jersey, and this is what Pennsylvania is waiting on him to get all in order and everything, and they didn't do it, and it's just, you know, at first on Sunday night, you're Dana White saying how great of a job the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission did and everything, but it poked holes in that, or at least exposed what California gets called out for, and exposed it with New Jersey, too, who let him fight without having everything that, you know, without them feeling completely confident that everything was on the up and up with him, they still let him fight anyway in his last fight. I just, against Dan Miller, it exposed something with the commissions again that usually, you know, we've been calling out California for, but it just shows where these commissions are at right now because, one, if you're New Jersey, why did you let him fight if you weren't sure about it? When he came to Pennsylvania, why did you wait so long on this? And why did you let a guy who's already been busted for nandrolone, I think it was before in the past, why are you letting him use testosterone replacement therapy anyway? You know, it's you know, I think Nevada is one of those states where, and I think California is too, and New York, I believe, is as well, where if you're busted for steroids, if you had a history of steroids, and now you're taking testosterone replacement, that doesn't fly. If it's a natural issue, then, yeah, that's okay. And there are fighters. There were two who've gotten exemptions in Nevada from the UFC for that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's what came up a lot in Chael Sonnen stuff. That there were two fighters who have gotten exemptions, so they don't do it often. So I don't know. It's actually mystifying all the way across the board. And especially it was dragged out a little bit, too, because Marquardt didn't show up or decided against doing the Sunday pre-show, which it was just, it doesn't make sense. Dana White said he had no clue till the day before. I guess I don't find that hard to believe, but I would figure that they do more checking or, you know, you have people there to make sure that they're on track for weight. I'm a little bit surprised that there wouldn't be anything that came up. I don't know. I'm just kind of really mystified and surprised by the whole thing. And just, you know, shame on Nate Marquardt because, yeah, he can fight in Brazil. He can fight in Japan. He can fight in England for cage rage and do other things. But when you're out of the UFC right now, you're pretty much essentially out of the job. And Chris Cyborg is, again, and this is not related to this at all, but Chris Cyborg, apparently those negotiations are completely dead and done, and she is going to fight in Brazil because the UFC negotiations are going as well as the Strikeforce with Scott Coker ones did, so she will no longer be in the UFC either.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, that was it. I said no longer in the UFC. She never was there, but no longer at Strikeforce.
Right. Want to hit on another another story, obviously big news happening, and we usually don't make a big deal of title changes here, but, you know, there is one company where it actually means something, at least one wrestling company where they actually booked them to mean something. Davey Richards takes the Ring of Honor World title on Sunday at the Best in the World. I get tripped up every time I try to say that. IPPV, Internet Pay-Per-View. By going over Eddie Edwards in the main event there in Manhattan. I know that you saw the event. What do you think of Davey getting the title? What did you think of the pay-per-view?
The thing is, I didn't see the event. And I was driving myself nuts because I only saw half of it. I saw up to intermission, so you know, I saw Prodigy Mike Bennett. I saw the homicide match. I saw up to intermission. The Carino thing with Kevin Steen coming back, which was awesome. You know, you'll never see Kevin Steen in WWE, but when he came out and that whole thing with turning on Steve Carino and wanting to beg back in, and you had that group where it really looked like you could put together a four horsemen of redemption with, you know, Jimmy Jacobs and Steve Carino obviously always fighting his demons every day, and you had Kevin Steen coming in, and it looked like, you know, what could they do with that? But it was... they did such a great job, and Jim Cornette did such a great job with, you know, trying to keep Steen away, but Steen came out, and everybody deserves a second chance, and look at what Jacobs and Carino are doing, and I'm Mr. Wrestling and all that sort of stuff, and then pile drives the hell out of Steve Carino, and it was just absolutely awesome stuff up till there. And I was thinking, you know what, I'm going to try to stay away from this. We taped Observer Live the night before. But I was thinking, okay, I can mess with Avery, I can do some other things here and get back to it, and I can avoid spoilers. Not really thinking, and I should have, that there was going to be a title change. And I just completely flipped my mind, so I go to the Observer website, and boom, there it is. And I've been actually a little bit disheveled ever since, because I wanted to be a little bit spoiled, and the Hero's such a great match. It shouldn't take anything away from it, but I'm a little disappointed in myself that I spoiled myself on the whole thing, so... hopefully I can actually watch it tonight before we do the next Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. But apparently, from what everybody said, the tag match, you know, the four-way tag was awesome. It was long, but it was awesome, and I don't know how it couldn't be. And you know, there's another two names, the Kings of Wrestling, that have come up as far as, I don't know if they're signed or not. I don't know if they signed their ROH deals. Sheldon Benjamin and Charlie Haas just did. So they're going to be there for a while, and it looks like it's going to be them feuding with the Briscoes. But, you know, the Kings of Wrestling are up in the air, too. And isn't it kind of amazing when it comes to Ring of Honor, they're losing Homicide. They're losing a couple of guys because they're not under contract, and they're going to be going elsewhere. The possibilities of the Kings of Wrestling doing that. Every time Ring of Honor has gotten a break now, as far as being on TV, they've ended up losing some guys that were really good players. And that's too bad, because I think last time around was Danielson, McGinnis, and I think a couple other guys that actually migrated away then when they came to HDNet.
Right. One other story that's just kind of really hit the internet today in terms of something that happened this week. I don't know if you've had a chance to hear it. I heard about half of the interview. Randy Orton appeared on KUPD in Arizona while they're out there doing the tapings out there, and this was yesterday that he did this. We were going to try to get some sound up for you here, but you can go to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, hit the news and notes section, and click on the link there if you haven't already heard this thing. Pretty candid interview. Have you had a chance to hear any of it? Are you familiar with what we're even talking about?
I'm familiar with the story. I haven't heard the interview yet, but I saw, you know, read some of the highlights from it, and, you know, again, it to me, it kind of plays into everything that's kind of going on right now, and the push a little bit. Jim Ross actually said about Monday night, see, that was PG, but it was cutting edge. You know, you don't have to slum it down. PG can be edgy when you do it right. CM Punk, and that was kind of a forgotten thing, for the most part, except for the douchebag comment, which, you know, has actually been far more accepted now, you know, to be honest. And I don't think a little kid's going to know what that is anyway.
Douchebags are more wait a minute, what's more accepted, douchebags or calling somebody a douchebag?
Well, I think just the word in general on TV, you know?
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. All right.
But, you know, God, now I actually forgot where we're going there with that.
That would be my role here. Yeah, yeah.
Well, in any event, just What were we talking about before I went on my Jim Ross PG thing?
Randy Orton being a little candid and a little open, and
yes.
Just you know, he kind of broke my heart when he talked about Kelly, but you know, what are you gonna do?
No, it just makes you jealous. But you know, that's kind of the thing too. I mean, you're dealing in reality right now, and again, this is what, and not to say wrestling has to be all real or you have to, you know, there's ways to do it where you can create some intrigue, and this is, you know. Again, he's not going to say anything, even though he's a little loose and kind of not does what he wants, but it just something seems very pointed about a lot of this, and I think it was all for, it may all be true, and that's fine, but it's a little bit of shock value, too. I'm surprised, you know, he said about the concussions, about, you know, the six concussions. With that said, there's some transparency there, but it's something that, again, it's true, and he can say it, and maybe they're pushing for more truth and more reality, like, you know, we've kind of hoped for as far as promotion and UFC-style things and things like that, utilizing that stuff. But I'm surprised it kind of came out of nowhere. And he's been loose with his interviews before, but it's just, I don't know, something about it just seemed like, well, again, I don't know. It was more for to stir up interest, which obviously it did.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break here and go ahead and round up all the fans of Jimmy Rave to join us when we get back here in about 3.5 minutes, and we'll talk a little bit more about what we've been talking about and catch up with Jimmy.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott from Def Leppard for Rad. Planning on going out and having a party? Great, have a lot of fun. But do me a big favor and don't blow it. Always choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives. You should too.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge. When we see people serving their country and one another, volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines, and the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today, and not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there.
So now, I'm never alone.
I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with, you'll find it at IAVA.org. Even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say that?
Really? What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
We'll be right back.
right, welcome back to Ringside Wrap. As promised, we have joining us tonight our guest, Jimmy Rave. Jimmy, welcome back to the GWH Radio Network.
Hey, what's up, Rich? How you doing?
All right, man. Hey, we wanted to get you on the line tonight. Thanks for stepping in and subbing for Jake Roberts. Nobody I can think of better. I wanted to get your thoughts on some stuff that's going on, because obviously you're pretty close to guys like CM Punk and Davey Richards and those folks, and their big stories this week. What did you think of Punk's promo to close Raw Monday night?
I think it showed it exactly kind of a performer Punk is. He's always had this aura about him that, you know, that I never could, you know, really put my finger on. But he just has the ability to capture people's imagination, and if you give him a microphone, that's a dangerous weapon for him. So I thought it was amazing. I thought it's breathing a little bit more life into wrestling right now. There's a whole bunch of stuff right now that's very, very exciting for pro wrestling. So that was definitely one of the highlights that I've seen.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Oh, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
I was just saying, when it comes to like that, I don't know how, if you keep up with every show or watch all the Raws or anything like that, but obviously, you know, one of the things you could rail against with WWE is, well, hey, you look at the UFC as far as, you know, guys can get knocked out or choked out at any time, and they don't have feuding announcers, and a lot of those things seem to be put to bed, and now, you know, Randy Orton's doing interviews, being quite candid about his concussions and things like that, and obviously this whole Punk storyline playing into lots and lots of reality, from him not liking signing autographs at the airport at 5 in the morning to the fact that he is a underappreciated, underutilized guy. What do you think about the direction of WWE right now? And as a guy that's in the business and works, what's your – obviously you don't want to make anybody mad, but what's your thought now? Because we are only a year after Nexus, and there was, you know, excitement and surprise and intrigue there, and they kind of – did what they did with it. What's your feelings on this whole thing right now with playing into reality and Punk, and is WWE serious about it?
Punk's always been the type of guy that can really blur things. Sometimes you don't know where he's going with things. You know, I was in angles with him, and I was like, geez Louise, like what's going on here, you know? But I think in this day and age where, you know, for the most part, kayfabe is dead, he is one of those guys that's going to make you suspend disbelief because it might be reality and it might not be reality, you know? And I think that is definitely something we need in pro wrestling. And he's always been very good at doing that. Like when his last run at Ring of Honor, when he won the title, and they did great business because the whole thing was the chase and who was he going to drop the belt to, because everybody knew he signed the WWE contract and he signed it on the Ring of Honor belt, and it was intriguing. And he's got a great mind for pro wrestling. And, I think this thing overshadows anything that WWE's done in a long time because, right now, with that and The Rock coming back and appearances from Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels and stuff like that, that's the blend that they kind of need. But I don't know, I don't keep up with FCW enough, but when they let guys like Low-Key go to waste and you know, then you hear stories about Chavo Guerrero and MVP being not happy in the situations that they were in. You know, that's kind of disheartening because you're seeing the guys that are workhorses just, you know, being ran out of the company pretty much because, you know, they feel underappreciated.
When it comes to right now, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on, and we just saw you against Kid Cash and in TNA. What's right now the most exciting thing for you? Because New Japan is doing great right now. Dragon Gate USA and Dragon Gate in Japan are both, you know, very exciting, and obviously the iPay-per-view concept for both them and Ring of Honor, which is now going over to TV. There is a lot of exciting stuff going on. Right now, what are your plans and what are you thinking about as far as, you know, everything that's been going on? You know, Chikara is doing well, PWG is doing well for what they do. Where are you right now as far as being energized on the circuit, and is there anything you're looking into doing?
You know, like right now, I'm just kind of stepping back, and you know, the TNA thing kind of came out of left field, and we, you know, like the response that the three of us got, you know, coming out of that match was very, very appreciated by all three of us, because we were all guys that, you know, like I was talking to Aries as soon as we landed in Orlando that day, and he was done with wrestling. You know what I mean? Like he got the call, and you know, and it, you know, it was just one of those things where like it, you know, like we were trying to prove that despite us not being there anymore, that we deserved to be on a main platform. So that was my main goal there. It wasn't to get a job or anything like that. If that happened, great. But it was just to prove that, you know, if given a ball, I'm going to score. You know what I mean? So, you know, whatever company wants to give me that ball, then I'm going to score with it. That's just how I've always been. I've not been one that's really out there shopping all the different markets or whatever. But at this point, like I'm content with developing talent and Rampage Pro Wrestling, and that's been a blessing for me. And you know, I really enjoy doing that and working a few dates here and there. And but I mean, I have things on the horizon that I can't really talk about, but they. But whatever comes my way first will probably be the one that I go with.
Was there any talk after the TNA appearance about, you know, any interest from them about bringing you back at some point?
The comment that I heard over and over was they were surprised with the results of that match, and I think they were surprised that the three of us went out there and did what we did. And I've been, you know, talking to them back and forth, and I don't think there was any plans of me coming back or anything like that. But it was just, you know, like the doors open. But they never closed it in the first place. It was always open when I left. So, but it was one of those things where I needed to be in the right place in my life to want to go back and do that.
Right. Now, you know, let's not gloss over the Rampage Pro Wrestling deal. I mean, that's, you know, obviously great stuff coming out of there. To anybody that's listening to us tonight that hasn't been paying attention, if you go to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, if you're not in the viewing area, they do have TV, and we link to it, put up the video every week. Or you can go to their website and get it. Great stuff happening down there. And just kind of talk about it a little bit.
I've been in charge for my 52nd week, the last TV, and it's just been a blessing, like, just doing what we do, like myself and Crew Jones and Bill Barron's, just, you know, putting our heads together and coming up, you know, with some, you know, some exciting stuff. The stuff with Kyle Matthews has been awesome for me, and in my opinion, Hot Like Lava and The Usual Suspects are, you know, two teams that are highly underrated and you know, should be on a national platform at some venture. We just have so much talent there, you know, with Corey Hollis and Mike Posey and J-Rod and Bull Buchanan, an anchor for the place. And we've had Luke Gallows come and do great business with us. And, I mean, it's been such a breath of fresh air down there. And Frankie Valentine and Doug Summers, it's just been amazing that, you know, to see this, you know, come together. And you know, we have a big show coming up, the Summer Citizen Bash, and so just keep checking back our website, and some things will be developing soon.
Yeah, we were talking earlier too about you know, how we usually don't pay much attention to the majors, you know, TNA, WWE when they change titles, because it just doesn't really mean much. But in Ring of Honor, you know, they really book around the titles, and of course Davey Richards getting the title on Sunday. Your thoughts on that?
Davey is, you know, by far one of the hardest working guys in pro wrestling. I was his like first three or four matches at Ring of Honor, and we did wrestle each other in England and in Japan and everywhere. And you know, he is very serious about pro wrestling, and he's a, you know, Ring of Honor, that's a company not based around sports entertainment. He's a perfect example of a pro wrestler. He's there in the gym, or if there's not a gym, he'll find a way to work out. I remember knocking on his hotel room one time in England, and just the man was dripping sweat. I was like, is it hot in there or something? He goes, no, man, I've been working out the whole time. There wasn't a gym in sight. So, I mean, he's a beast, man. And I'm super happy for him. And I'm super happy that Ring of Honor is, you know, going to get the opportunities they're going to get with Sinclair Broadcasting. And I think, you know, I only read the results from the high pay-per-view, but it looked to be amazing, you know?
Yeah. Everything with Ring of Honor is just amazing. I love that promotion right now, and it's the best thing going in terms of the big three. I've gotten primarily to where I don't even watch Thursday nights unless I know there's something on there that I want to see. And not sucking up to you, but I did think the match with you and Cash and Aries was awesome, and one of the best things I've seen on that show in a long time.
Oh, thank you very much. The shame of this, the Ring of Honor thing, is, you know, it's just now getting to be, you know, had we had, you know, the opportunities in 2004, 2005, and, you know, God only knows where we'd be right now, you know what I mean? But, I mean, I'm super happy. They have a great crew there. Like, there's, you know, they have a good mix of new talent and then established talent, and I think it's going to be nothing but good things for them to come.
Now,
yeah,
the deal with Sinclair has got to be cool.
Jose, do you have any resentment whatsoever having to see the barrister, R.D. Evans, though, hanging out with Prince Nana and not you?
What's that?
I said, do you have any resentment over the barrister, R.D. Evans, standing there with Prince Nana instead of you?
You know, like, the embassy thing, you know, like, it's, you know, it's something that I know that Nana and I, you know, cherish, because I think we were thrown together as kind of a, you know, like, we'll just throw this together, and then it'll run its course in a couple months, and then that'll be it, you know what I mean? And then we were going to make the best of it, and, you know, we did the thing with Punk and AJ and Generation Next. So, you know, there's a lot of the times where I miss, you know, being around doing the embassy stuff. But best of luck to them. They're not going to be able to catch what we had, though.
Not a chance. And that's what, you know, I love that stuff. And, you know, the reaction of, you know, the ROH fans to you that love giving you a hard time, but it came across so well to, you know, somebody who doesn't go to the shows and just watch the DVDs of it. It looked like it was awesome stuff. And, you know, there's talk of, you know, spots opening up if guys leave and things like that. What does Nick Patrick, and I don't know how often you deal as far as at Rampage, how much you talk to Jody Hamilton or those guys, or what tips do they give you, because you never stop learning, what tips do they give you as far as they're passing their experience on keeping you energized and keeping you, you know, just learning about everything?
Well, you know, like, they left a little over a year ago, but before they left, they had called me and Sal Renaro in, and we're asking our ideas for finishes and stuff like that. So, you know, it was just an honor to get to work with them. You know, like, they always treated me with the utmost respect, and I totally enjoyed being around them. Nick, especially Nick, you know, we used to joke around and hang out and just have a blast. And Jody was just great because he really understood, especially like tag wrestling, he really understood, you know, and taught us a lot about how to get the most out of a tag match. And I don't know if you guys, you know, watch the RPW product, but we're a little bit different than a Monday or Thursday night where we actually give guys a good amount of time to tell their story in the ring. So,
right.
I mean, it's not unusual for us to do a 15-20 minute main event. And that's one of the things that I think, you know, the generations before us were able to do is they had time to, like, get their stories across and tell that story in the ring. But the guys today, you know, just... I listened to an interview with MVP on Dave Lagana's podcast, and he had a great analogy for, you know, using guys at FCW was to send them to Japan for 6 months and then send them to Mexico for 6 months and then Puerto Rico for 6 months, you know, and let them work indies for 6 months and use that to develop them instead of sending them in FCW and keeping them in front of the same crowd every week, you know? So if guys had that experience, like, they wouldn't be like deer in the headlights when they get on TV. I mean, if we sat down and watched WWE TV and just count the number of guys that revolve in and out during the year, it would really boggle your mind, like how these guys spend 4 or 5 years in developmental, and then this is the most that's developed, you know.
Jimmy, what did you pick up? Because MVP is loving his time in New Japan right now, and you worked the best of the Super Juniors, and obviously worked with Dragon Gate too. What did you pick up over there? What did you learn over there, especially between the two companies too, which, you know, do have differing philosophies, but what did you pick up over there as far as something that you could take with you, or a couple of things where you're like, okay, this was something new to me or something like that, where it's just something that you carried with you?
There's a lot of work ethic involved in both of those companies. They're very much about they have a great sense of pride amongst themselves and as a company in a whole. And I try to carry that with Rampage. I tell those guys, you know, this, you know, you don't have to call each other family, but we're all in the same team. And if this team is going to succeed, we all need to pull our weight and work together to go forward. And it's like that with anything. Like if you have a regular 9-to-5 job and your whole staff, that's what drives the company. And it's not one single person. And I just respect that about them. And that just watching those guys train. And when I went to New Japan and I did the best of Super Juniors, I opted to stay in the dojo for the tour after about 3 days in a hotel. And I was going crazy just sitting in a hotel room, and I was the only American on the tour, so I opted to stay at the New Japan Dojo, and I decided to go train, and Prince Devitt and I would train during the day, and then I would get to the shows and train with the young boys during the show. I wanted to go over there with the mentality, even though I was on loan from TNA at the time, I didn't want to go over there as a U.S. star or anything like that. I wanted to earn their respect. Because I learned that from going to Dragon Gate previously, that you earn your respect there.
Now, as far as what Devitt, I'm not sure how much you follow Japan on a regular basis. You know, Devitt's obviously had a monstrous couple of years in New Japan, and you know, you talk about training with him in the dojo and everything. Was that something that you saw? Because at the time, not like they were using tons and tons, and not like they're doing it now either, but they were not using a whole lot of Americans at all. Or, sorry, I don't want to say Americans, but foreigners, they weren't using a whole lot of foreigners at all. And he stuck it out, and not that I'm shocked by his success, but I'm really surprised at his ascension so fast. Did anything stick out to you in that dojo of something where you're like, this guy is made for this company?
He probably did two shows before he got hurt on that tour that we were on together. And you could just tell when he got in the ring, he had a connection with the Japanese crowd that it's very lost. And I think the reason why a Japanese crowd will go and soak up somebody like Tozawa is getting the same treatment in Dragon Gate right now, because they see these guys struggle for years, you know, just, you know, waiting for their big break, and they grow fond of them, and they believe that that's their boy, you know, they are rooting for that guy. My first tour of Dragon Gate, Yamoto was a young boy at the time, and they were just beating the crap out of him, and people were thriving off of, you know, this guy just, you know, getting his one, you know, if it was like a spear or something, if he got that one thing in, and like they would just absolutely go nuts. And I think he just he stuck it out, and he earned not only the boys' respect, but the fans' respect. And in the end, like he's one of the best things going right now. And you know, like at the start of the conversation, I said there's so many things that are exciting, and you know, New Japan is exciting. You know, Dragon Gate USA, Dragon Gate, Ring of Honor. You know, TNA putting all this steam behind the X Division, and you know, Punk's promo on Raw. Like, there's just so much good stuff going out right now. It's a very exciting time to, you know, be in the wrestling business.
Well, Jimmy, we thank you for sitting in with us tonight and sharing some thoughts on some of the top stories going on, and also catching us up on what you've been doing. You got anything you want to plug before you head out?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter. It's TheJimmyRave on Twitter. And also check out RampagePro Wrestling.net. We're there on Sunday, every other Sunday afternoon. And also just keep supporting pro wrestling.
There you go. All right, Jimmy, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, thanks, Rich.
Thanks, man.
All right, man, take care.
See you, mate. Bye.
All right, always a pleasure to have Jimmy Rave join us. We will be back in 3 minutes and talk a little bit more stuff. If you want to get in here and share some thoughts on any of the topics going on, or maybe raise a new one, give us a call, 347-324-5735.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, NBA forward Kevin Durant from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
And that's a slam dunk.
Whether you like to shoot hoops like me, skateboard, ride a bike,
or dance on your roof,
be a player.
Get up, play, and move it your way.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today, and not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
All right, back on Ringside Wrap. Mike, obviously a lot of things going on this week, and it's been a couple of weeks since we've been on, but I do want to talk about something that came out, and I guess today it was released or published, at least online. I'm not sure about a print version, but the Richmond area, Richmond, Virginia, has apparently a periodical called Style Weekly. There's a great story on Dick Steinborn in there for you old school folks or any young school folks who want to go and learn old school from one of the best of his era. You can catch a link to it at the story on our news and notes section at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Lord of the Ring takes you to it. Really great piece. Mike, I know you want to make sure you read that because that's stuff.
Are you out?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they
check it
they
out.
They speak to such experts as Dirty Dutch Mantel, and there were plenty of them, and then one really stuck out to me, some guy named Rich Tate.
Yeah, I don't trust anything that guy says.
but you can't trust what Mantel says when he says he at times he was arguably one of the best wrestlers in the world, which is something that. And obviously on this network, and you've talked about it newsletters, the old Peach State Pandemonium newsletters you used to do, you touched on how great the people thought he was. And it's, you know, unfortunately, like you say, some of his stories are going to get lost, you know, when he, you know, passes. And it's just, it's going to be too bad because he's going to be probably one of those guys, one of the most underrated guys of all time, if just because the generations are going to try to skip away and forget about him.
Yeah, the guy's full of great stories, and I know he's been trying to get some stuff published for many years now, and I sure hope that stuff gets out there. If it doesn't, at least you know, we've been lucky enough to have him on our show a few times. The old original Peach State Pandemonium, and of course the current regime over there has had him a few times now, and just full of great stories. Love to have him on any time, and literally, seriously, anybody who wants to learn about the history of wrestling, go read this article again. That's titled Lord of the Ring at our news and notes section.
He's still working out training people too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He has not slowed down. Kimbo Slice makes his pro boxing debut on August 13th.
Well, you know, his cousin or second cousin is Emmanuel Burton. Now goes by the name, I believe he's still going by the name of Emmanuel Augustus, who is a, you know, a club level fighter in that, you know, he's one of those guys that he could fight every 3 weeks and he's in wars every time. And it's just always puts on a fun, exciting fight. It was his fights with Arturo Gatti, or I'm sorry, with Mickey Ward that on ESPN that ended up boosting him into the fights with Arturo Gatti, which, you know, obviously boosted him into having a movie with Amy Adams, a cute little thing based on his life.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, getting Oscar nominated and getting Mark Wahlberg and people involved in it. I mean, you know, the fights with Emmanuel Burton did that for Mickey Ward. That said, I don't know if Kimbo's got that kind of ability. Let's face facts, he's really old. And, you know, for boxing terms. And, yes, I'm sure he obviously can fight. Can he box? That's a different story. Can he blow through lots of tomato cans and become an attraction in boxing for a while? Sure, he can. But the same thing probably is what's going to happen to him in MMA. Not probably. It will happen to him. The same thing that happened to MMA where, you know, just he's only going to get to a certain level and that's it. And, you know, he dried up all the money he could out of MMA. He did it out of the backyard brawling stuff. And, you know, boxing is the last one of the last avenues he can go to. So he might as well go to it for as long as he can juice some money out of it.
I don't want to get too political here, but there was a great story in Slam Wrestling today talking about Jonathan Sharkey. Apparently, I guess he's filed his papers. He's planning on running for the president of the United States on the Republican
ticket. Yes, he is. I want to see a
that's
debate
all I'm
between
say
him
about
and Crazy Eye Bachman.
What's that?
I want to see a debate between him and Crazy Eye Bachman and do it right down in the Florida Everglades, still.
Oh,
did Anton LaVey have
tough.
Any kids? He could be up there doing the he can be on the panel moderating it.
Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on Dave Finley. Apparently going to be wrestling with Evolve.
Yeah, and good. I can't remember who
like
it was
that.
who came out and said, defended, oh, it was Batista, I think it was, who came out, you know, because I guess Finley was a good mentor to him and really, you know, not happy over the fact that, you know, he had to lose his job. Same thing we talked about. He had to lose his job over that. It was the way to get cheap heat. And yeah, he pissed off a sponsor, and I guess if you have to reassign him, I think that would have been fine. Did you really have to fire him? Seemed like more of like a, okay, we have an excuse to do some cost cutting or something like that sort of move than anything that he actually did, unless Vince was just in a really, really bad mood that day. But it's a loss. He worked with the girls in WWE, and obviously he was a mentor to many other guys, too, all that experience, all that knowledge. That he had, and Evolve is just the perfect place for him because his style can be mat wrestling with a little bit of brawling in there, and yeah, there's guys who fly around and stuff like that, but it's a mix of many different styles, and much like Colt Cabana always has a certain type of match on an ROH show, and there were, you know, certain guys have certain matches on shows, you know, he's going to provide that for Evolve against a lot of different guys, and, you know, Johnny Gargano is, I don't know how old he is, but, you know, he's a kid. You know, we had him on our show, and he's, you know, super early 20s. And he can go out there and have a match with him and teach him some things and go in there with an AR Fox or a High Flyer or somebody like that as a contrast to styles and teach him something and then go out there and have a match with, I don't know, a great chain wrestling match with whoever. He can do that. It's going to be good. It's just good to see Fit Finley making money and doing something where he can help wrestling and help younger guys and still put on his performances, which, again, I've always liked guys like Finley and Regal, and there's, you know, a handful of guys, too, who are, they're not the super charisma balls like your Rocks and guys like that, but they're guys that, who just the same I could watch forever. Look at what they're doing with Johnny Saint in England right now. I mean, Johnny Saint's how old? But he's just got something where people like seeing him, you know, do his thing, and it's just, again, it's guys like that end up being timeless.
Speaking of guys who are timeless, you just want to put out well wishes to Bruno Sammartino on a speedy recovery. He obviously had some health issues here recently, some rumors going around about that. Sal Corrente says that he has had the surgery. He's begun rehabilitation, and that should take about 3 months. But his doctors, I guess, expect a full recovery. And apparently he's going to have the heart of a 40-year-old man, according to the doctor, when the rehab is complete. So best wishes to Bruno.
Yeah, absolutely. Although what got me during the press release, too, I got to say this, did it really see the big cheese, Sal Corrente? Come on, Sal.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on something that I really have not been paying attention to because it just sounds like serious, just bad stuff. It sounds like it's going to be really bad TV, nothing I want to pay attention to, nothing that's going to last long, so I won't waste time with it. All Wheels Wrestling, taping their pilot tonight. Have you been following this at all?
Not outside of the fact that they're going to exist. This is the one with Sanjay Dutt and Daivari and everything where they're broken up into teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, it's a concept. We've got that. We've got the Urban Wrestling Federation doing a concept. one of the more violent, you know, Grand Theft Auto video game meets, you know, general, you know, stereotypical thuggery, and I guess that's, you know, maybe Brian Alvarez, I mean, he said it was, you know, for all intents and purposes, said it was awful, but there, you know, the more you watch, it's just you get, it's perverse laughter you get out of it. You're getting entertainment, probably for all the wrong reasons, but you're getting entertainment out of it. And I just, the only way that this thing sounds like it succeeds with the teams and everything is the same sort of thing where it's just like, it's just wacky or something like that. But I guess, you know, time will tell, too. I mean, can't say anything until you actually see it. But it just, it seems like it, well, it is what it is.
The ongoing saga of Matt, or I'm sorry, Jeff Hardy, it gets more comical as we go along. I mean, you know, continuance after
Justice
continuance,
system.
Obviously. What's that?
Justice system.
The system? Well, yes. Yeah. You know, it seemed like, I mean, in all honesty, obviously, you know, I hate to pass judgment on anybody because bottom line is all you hear is like whatever the news wants you to hear. And maybe you're going to hear the defense's case before the trial and this, that, and the other. But unless you're sitting in the courtroom, you really don't know everything that's being brought up. So I always hesitate to really kind of pass judgment on anything unless I'm sitting in the courtroom. But I gotta think after all this time. I mean, is this something that's just gonna get is it just gonna eventually just go away?
Because
it seemed like such an open and shut case at one point that you know he was absolutely guaranteed to do some serious time, and it seems like that would have already happened by now.
I wasn't sure after a while how much time he was actually gonna do, but I see a big massive fine. He's going to do some time, more of, I would think, in a county type of prison than jail. I think he was going to get out of it a little bit that way, but I thought he was going to do some time. I still think he's going to do a little bit, but it's just, I think it's going to be more about, you know, the supervised probation, a lot of those things too, which, you know, if that's going to be the case with supervised probation, it really might throw a wrench in all those YouTube things.
Also, another thing I wanted to touch on, and then we'll preview some events coming up. The obviously Linda Hogan, or whatever the hell her name is at this point, I don't even know anymore. She goes on the Today Show the other day, and just basically she's plugging her book, and of course, you know, she's going to get every dime she can out of this before everybody forgets about her. A lot of nasty negative things coming out, and I don't think that's any big surprise to anybody, but I got to say, the stuff about the violence and whatnot, I'm not the biggest Hulk Hogan fan, but that just, I don't know, it just he doesn't strike me, and I don't mean that pun, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's going to beat up on his wife.
I
don't see it.
You know, when the whole divorce went down, you know, Brooke sided with Hulk, and, you know, the money, obviously, because of the Graziano case and because of the spending and stuff like that, it's not like he's rolling in the dough. I mean, you know, there was a time where you never thought Hulk Hogan would be doing Impact or doing Rent-A-Center, well, maybe Rent-A-Center commercials. I mean, you know, everybody's seen most of his movies, for God's sakes. But, you know, it's just the fact that he, again, with his costs has come down, and the fact that he needs money and stuff like that. So the well is obviously not as wet as it once was. I don't think anybody's crying for Hulk Hogan. Certainly not in a Ric Flair-style position. But obviously, Linda now out of the mix. And this, you know, the divorce has been nasty anyway. And it's just, again, the book comes out. And I'm not saying that that's the, you know, and lots of people tell their stories in books. And they're more than legitimate, probably, you know, most of the time, even when it comes to celebrities. But again, it's selling a book. And none of this came out before, and I saw one of the little clips where it was like, well, what was I going to do? It would have killed his career, and then what about the kids? And I don't know. I'd be shocked. I just would be surprised if this wouldn't have come out sooner. I mean, I think we all have heard stories about, you know, that have not gotten out there about abuse of wives and things like that and abuse of kids and stuff like that when it comes to wrestlers. It's just like everything. But wrestlers, too, that lots of people don't know and things like that. But with that said, I think when it came to Hulk Hogan, I don't know. And, again, I wasn't there or anything like that, and I don't want to, you know, I don't know. Say she didn't want an O.J. Simpson situation. I don't know. I think she could have, I mean, she could have come out any time and say, Hulk Hogan abused me, and I don't know if public opinion would have changed from what it is. I don't know. I think she could have come out and said it, and you know what? She should have come out and said it if that was the case, for if she was getting abused for that long instead of staying in with it, where, I don't know. It's just, it's really sad what that whole family and that whole thing has really turned into.
And let's see, UFC 132 on Saturday. You got any predictions? Any preview thoughts?
Well, it's you know this. let me pull up the card here. This is the one with Dominic Cruz and Uriah Faber in a rematch. And Dominic Cruz does not like Uriah Faber. I mean, at all. He says he blew him off. You know, back in the day, when they fought in WEC, they had Faber's face on the poster, and Dominic Cruz is smaller, so Cruz would actually just, you know, autograph his face over Faber's, which, you know, bothered Faber, but, it, you know, Cruz just cannot stand the guy, and Faber beat him the first time around. That was a little bit of a different era. Faber has been, you know, slowed down a little bit since then. I mean, Cruz is at the top of his game right now. Cruz has got a weird style, and it's, you know, one of those guys who it doesn't look like he's killing you with his punches, and it's a lot of movement and stuff like that, but no one's really been able to figure him out recently, and I think, you know, Faber's wrestling is still great. Faber is still a top fighter. You know, he's not as good as he was, but he's still, you know, pretty much a top guy in those, you know, all those divisions down there. There's somebody better than in 135 to 145. But with that said, I mean, he's still up there. I mean, it's like Kenny Florian, you know, even though he may not be able to beat the very top guys, you know, he's still very, very dangerous, and he's still always a top five type of contender. But I just think Cruz is going to be Faber this time around, and I don't know what this card's going to do as far as, you know, buys or anything like that goes. Again, I'm not going to feel too bad for the UFC either, but it's such a – they're supposed to have Penn and Fitch on it, which, you know, both those guys have been off the card for a long time being hurt. But even if that fight was on here, it's not an exciting card. I mean, Mayhem Miller was off it, too. He was going to be in an undercard fight, or at least on a main card fight, but he's off because of the Ultimate Fighter show, which leaves you with Wanderlei Silva and Chris Leben, where I just assume somebody's going to get knocked out, and I assume that person that's going to get knocked out is going to be Chris Leben, even though Wanderlei is not the fighter he was. He's still very dangerous, and I think hits a lot harder than Leben does, even though Leben can take a hell of a punch and throw one, too. It's going to be a one-punch type of thing where it's just in a flurry, somebody's going to catch somebody, and I think Wanderlei is going to be the guy to do it. Tito Ortiz and what odds are is going to be his last fight in the UFC unless he can pull off a miracle in a 205-pound fight against Ryan Bader, who is coming off basically a number one contendership loss to John Jones in his last fight, which was his first loss in the UFC. He was the Ultimate Fighter 8 winner at 205 pounds. But Bader, I think, is just going to blow through Ortiz. I don't know what Ortiz has got at this point other than taking nude pictures of himself and tweeting them. but not much on there, too. And Condit, the Korean stun gun, is probably going to be a pretty good fight. I think Condit wins it. And again, he's one of those guys that's kind of been, since he came over from WEC, kind of forgotten about a little bit in the mix at 170 pounds. When we talk about guys like, well, who's going to face George St. Pierre? You know, when they had Jake Shields coming out of Strikeforce, you got Nick Diaz set up, you had Koscheck, and you wonder, God, he's going through all those guys. Who's he going to face next? Well, Condit's a guy that, you know, he wins this fight and probably is going to have another one. Yeah, he probably did. Actually, not probably. He would deserve a fight against GSP then. I would take GSP. But with that said, I mean, he probably is going to be deserving. And Dennis Seaver, the really good German kickboxer, against Matt Wyman, too, at 155 pounds. That would be pretty good. There's a Spike TV card with guys that are like Melvin Guillard and Shane Rollard. It would be really, really fun. And so will George Sideropoulos and Rafael Dos Anjos, too. I mean, those should be two pretty good fights. And the preliminary card, which is on Facebook, and which, you know, most people will be able to find on the Internet, too, I would assume. I think they did something with Ustream, and occasionally they'll do it in other outlets as well. Brian Bowles and Mizugaki, in the bantamweight division, Tavares and Aaron Simpson in middleweight bout. And there's a couple other ones on there as well that, that look pretty good. So, you know, top to bottom, not a flashy card, not a, a big pay-per-view extravaganza or anything like that. Not going to make them tons of money, but it's always one of those fights when they happen to be like that and you have the guys who fight at 145 and 135. I mean, they put on, in 155, they put on usually a hell of a show because of how fast they're moving. And anyone who saw the WEC shows with these guys on there, I mean, they're absolutely legit, and they usually make for really fun shows. So even though it's not great, it's still probably going to be better than ordering your next wrestling pay-per-view, except obviously for Money in the Bank for what CM Punk does.
I'm going to go off in a different direction here, and only because just mainly, well, there is a somewhat link to wrestling, and I'll tie it in here in a second. But last Thursday, the world lost Peter Falk at the age of 83. Just legendary actor. Loved the guy's work. You know, everybody thinks of Columbo, and what a great character that was. I remember the original In-Laws being just such a great film, and I loved him in that. But I'm going to tie this back into wrestling. The 1981 Robert Aldrich film, All the Marbles, not the greatest film in the world, but a fun movie. And wrestling-themed, obviously. Mildred Burke trains the ladies, works with them. And to me, that it was just a fun movie. I don't know. I've always kind of wanted to maybe have a team show one time where we actually talk about wrestling movies or wrestlers in movies. God, we could do a series on Mike Mazurki. Did you get to see that movie?
No, I didn't.
It's something you got to. It's definitely something you got to check out. It's just a fun comedy, really. But it's fun watching a lot of the. Just the interaction and the feel of the wrestling and just I guess the atmosphere, pretty realistic in a lot of ways to the business itself. But Peter Falk, obviously, just seems like the kind of guy you'd love to have a beer with, and I didn't even realize he was that old. But man, what a loss.
This is going to sound incredibly awful. When I heard he passed, it was like, really? I thought he actually had passed, which made me feel absolutely awful. But you know, he was good in after Columbo and everything too, where he kind of played not a caricature of himself, but a little bit poke fun at himself, not to the level that Robert De Niro and stuff does now. But he was in a movie with Chris Kattan. That was, what is the name of this movie? It was one of those absolutely awful, great movies where it's like, you know, it's not a good movie at all, but it's one of those where it comes on, you got to watch it. And he was, you know, the mob boss father in the
Corky
movie.
Corky Romano. There you go.
I thought it was absolutely great with Chris Penn, and there were a couple other people in it too where. He was great, I thought, in that movie, too. And I think that was the last thing that I actually really remember him in, outside of just, you know, doing a talk show or something like that.
He was great in The Great Race, and I also loved Murder by Death. Actually, Murder by Death, one of my favorite movies of all time. If you got the Retro Channel, go check that out, or Retro Movie Channel or whatever that is. Anyway, we digress. What do you got going on outside of Ringside Wrap, sir?
You know, at some point, Adam Summers and I are going to record a new Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare to go up on the Figure Four Empires WrestlingObserver.com website. Got a lot to talk about, including a lot more matches from the Best of the Super Juniors, which Jimmy Rave was in 2008, and which. Was won by an outsider for the first time ever this year, Kota Ibushi from DDT, who has been in Ring of Honor before. He's a spot monkey from hell that has gotten a lot better at it. And I mean a lot better at it. A couple years ago, a lot of people raved over he and Pac being great high flyers and saying, whoa, they were way too sloppy to be considered. You know, you look at the precision of guys you know, some in Mexico, and, you know, Dragon Gate always a good example of guys who fly around like Super Bowls, but they're hitting their stuff, you know, incredibly well and with, you know, with precision. And Obuchi would be very sloppy. Kenny Omega would be very sloppy. Pac would be very sloppy. Well, Pac has come, you know, leap years. And Kota Ibushi in the last couple of years has done that as well. And New Japan is in such a great position right now. Again, still not the richest promotion in the world or anything like that, but the quality of making stars and building stars and keeping their old guys around and established and in the mix and doing things. Yuji Nagata, for God's sakes, people thought his career was over in 2001, and he is not as stronger than ever right now, but damn close to it as far as his respectability. And Kota Ibushi wins for the first time, more outsiders than ever in that tournament. He wins it, and you know, a lot more matches that have been in there, some really good ones, and we're going to be talking about those. We're going to be talking about the Great June 18th New Japan Dominion show that took place, and lots of other things as well coming up, including a lot of hockey, which I know you don't want to talk about right now, not being a Winnipeg Jets fan and all, but at some point we're going to do a damn show.
Done with the NHL. Done with them. Done with them. Let's see. Want to mention, obviously, tomorrow night the guys have Superstar Bill Dundee coming on Peach State Pandemonium with Mike Norris, Bobby
awesome.
Simmons, and Jerry Oates. And as always, the Jerry Oates Natural Products Name of the Week. They've been having fun with Jerry over there doing that. And, well, I guess that's really kind of it for us this week. We kind of missed Les. Hopefully he catches up with us next time. And Jake Roberts will be looking to reschedule him here in a couple of weeks. And I hope everything's okay there. And wish his family well. And, Mike, I guess that's it. You got anything else?
No, I just want to thank Jimmy Rave again for coming on spot duty here and listening to me ask him all sorts of stupid questions and whatnot. But always nice to hear. I always like Jimmy Rave, too. And I, you know, at some point, I want to ask him, too. He always got a bad rap from ROH fans, and there are guys who are like that. And, you know, Mike Bennett, who is, you know, I like a lot, and I like the concept of him and Brutal Bob Evans and Ring of Honor and everything. Just, you know, with a fan base like Ring of Honor, and Rave caught it, and he really made it work for him as far as, you know, being responded to with the toilet paper roles instead of the streamers and his team with Alex Shelley. I really, really liked a lot of that stuff, too, and I'd like to hear his advice, too, for guys like Bennett who deal with tough crowds, and Rave's had to do it. And, you know, TNA, same way. You see those same people over and over again in Orlando, and you know, got to hear what his thoughts are on how you stay positive and how you use that to your advantage and make it work for you a little bit for guys like Bennett and guys like that who are having to hear the same thing now.
Yeah, Rave's always been a great guy, and pleasure to have him as always. And don't forget, also, you can catch him and many other folks at Rampage Wrestling. Let's see, Rampage Pro Wrestling, and that is at Rampage Pro Wrestling or RampageWrestling.net, I believe. Actually, I tell you what, go to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and hit any links there because I don't have that readily available. But we're always posting stuff for them, TV results and upcoming shows. So check it out. Go to their website and. You don't want to miss it, and I got to tell you, one of the best talents that the world has yet to really have the opportunity to see, Kyle Matthews, and just gotta get out there and see this guy. Anyway, that is going to do it for us this week. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I know I did this week. Last week, well, we weren't here. Hopefully, we're here next week. That's it.
Well, that's it.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.